When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Dungeons & Demogorgons, the officially unofficial podcast for Stranger Things on Netflix. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished watching Season 3, Episode 6, titled E Pluribus Unum, also known as From Many, One, which I think, after seeing this episode, it's pretty understandable why they called it that.
Yes.
The Mind Flayer's plan is coming into focus here.
It's very gross.
It is, yeah.
I mean, there's some just gross shit, like that thing flowing under doors through some kind of grate, leaving like a human femur behind.
Mm-hmm.
All like just the animation, because it's not just like it's not like a goo that flows together. They're like this recognizable chunks that are. It's bad. It's bad.
it's real bad, but it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this episode overall?
I like it. It continues to pack a lot of plot and development into a relatively small amount of time. There's a lot of really funny character moments. Like, I thought maybe Dustin's assertion that Erica is a nerd is going to be the thing that kind of reins that character in or put some boundaries around it.
Seems like it, yeah.
Which is good in my opinion. I love the development of... the captured Russian. I mean, there's just a lot. There's just a lot of stuff to like, and then you know the stakes are kind of maximal. There's a lot of interesting stuff with like Billy. I mean, things that we kind of already knew from seeing him interact with his father from last season, and things we've heard Max say. But like to see what seems like a relatively sweet young boy be corrupted by his dad's, you know, toxic bullshit into the bully that he became and then see what his ultimate fate likely is going to be is pretty, I mean, cause we think everyone that dissolves in the goo is gone.
I think so.
Like maybe if you rescued these people and you could throw them in a sauna long enough to drive the mind flare out, maybe, but once they go to goo, cause that femur, this is a real body.
Like, yeah, it seems like it's dissolving the flesh and then like the bones and maybe some of the organs and stuff are still.
Yeah. And that's the thing is like, maybe there's some part of their mental that's mental energy still left inside. I guess that's a question is like, could you induce the mind flayer to put them back into the correct genetic order?
Yeah.
But absent that, like maybe there's going to be something that they're like psychically out there, but it seems like once you explode into a goo mass of tumors, it's gone.
I don't care how good the Russian doctors are, they're not putting you back together after that.
No, and that was horrifying too when like it was giving its like, you know, end of the world doomsday speech to Eleven and like all these citizens of Hawkins just kind of like it felt very sacrificial, just kind of mindlessly.
Sort of walking into the flames kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? Step forward and just, you know, E pluribus unum.
Yeah, so some of the things you mentioned I felt were a little belabored this episode. This is maybe, like, one of the weaker ones, though there's still a lot to like. I felt like that nerd thing was pretty belabored at the beginning, where he lays out the case. And, you know, because they're in a very urgent situation.
The clock's
running, they take the time to have an argument about whether or not Erica is a nerd. It feels weird in what I think is the same episode where they chastise Mike for worrying about something that is completely off mission here. And like, I don't know. I felt I was like looking at my watch while they were doing that. And then the Hopper plan was a little belabored as well.
The Hopper plan.
Yeah. Where he's got this plan to let the Soviet scientists kind of,
you didn't like that?
You know, essentially like tantrum himself out until he realizes that, his best choice is
to get him to stop
to talk
the bullshit. I thought that was pretty smart. And
It just all felt like it was a little too, like it was belabored a little too much.
Okay.
But everything else I loved.
But I mean, the thing is like, if you're going to do that scene and you're going to have like the Russian in real time, like unless he just literally has already figured it out. But I think that the way they're showing this is that he's a very smart guy, but he hasn't really thought, he thinks if I can just escape and get back to my people, it'll be fine, but he hasn't really done the math yet. Mm-hmm. And Hopper thinks, you know, but I mean, that it's so weird because it's like if Hopper throws in the keys and he's like, okay, jig's up, that would have felt weird. And if like the guy had actually driven off the property and like driven down the road 30 minutes and like, oh fuck, where am I going to go, and turned around, that would have been a weird thing to show. So it's like they're kind of in the, like if you're going to commit to this plan, you got to show it. So I didn't have a problem with it because I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely funny moments in there that I really loved.
Hey, before we get further in the episode, I want to do a little cross promotion because you know, Cecily and I are starting some coverage of a show coming out on Hulu, season 3 of Harlots. We have marathoned it in the off season and we kind of fell in love. So we're going to start the first episode of season 3 premieres on Hulu Wednesday. We'll be talking about it on Bald Move Television this Friday, and we'll be doing that each subsequent week from here on out. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
I want to talk about a scene that could really be done by anyone at any time in cinema, and yet only feels completely right in Stranger Things. It's the meeting between the mayor and, let's make no bones, the Terminator inside the Gravitron.
Right.
Like, as soon as they step in that Gravitron, I'm like, this is so Stranger Things, mm-hmm. and yet you can go to a county fair today and check out a Gravitron. It's not anything that's like specific to 1985, and yet it's so specific to this show. And I love how they've kind of just, they've really defined what Stranger Things is.
Right, and they take it to the next level where they're actually torturing. The Terminator actually tortures the mayor with the Graviton. I thought that was pretty cool too. Because I've always wondered how the guy in the middle there just doesn't yak all the... I guess they get the guy with the least problematic inner ear, because...
Does the middle platform actually spin?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of like a...
But it's very... Since you're in the middle, it's not nearly as intense, obviously. It's like you're not feeling pulled in any way, but you are being spun. Hmm. And I feel like that would just make you sick. And where they are, at the guardrail portion of it, like, fuck, how the hell do you not yak all over the place? But I don't know. Terminator, maybe I buy he doesn't, but like I feel like Mayor Klein should have been like vomiting 5 gallons of Arizona iced tea between every sentence that the guy's choking out of him.
Speaking of the Terminator guy, I really hope at some point that Jonathan gets to fight this guy.
Oh yeah,
I've not seen anyone who looks more like John Connor than this character, Jonathan Byers.
He does look like a good late teens, early 20s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really want to see a showdown between him and the Terminator.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel, Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on the series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre,
We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of bald movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
What else do we want to talk about? Oh, Steve's interrogation. I thought that was, and his like sacrifice to save the kids and Dustin's I Won't Forget You. I actually was surprised that that paid off within the same episode that Dustin decides to come around and save them.
There's a lot of good stuff leading up to that with Steve winning a fight. Finally,
that was last episode, I believe.
But then he still gets the shit beat out of him this episode. It's like, he can't win. He can't win for winning.
As is tradition. Yeah. But I thought that the Seaver interrogation was the ultimate payoff to the joke of him being in Chips Ahoy. Like, he even says it. Like, look at me. Do you actually think that this is like my spy uniform? Do you know what an intelligence officer would dress like? It wouldn't say Scoops Ahoy and have his name on the badge. And when that doesn't work, and I thought it was pretty funny that the character of Robin, who's played by the daughter of Uma Thurman,
and
she gets
Hawk,
a chance to spit at the guy, you know,
because
the bride's famously a spitter.
Sure.
In Kill Bill. I thought that was a nice little character. Surely that's intentional, right?
I would think they're aware enough, to do that. And then Steve at the end of that scene, when they inject him with the juice, the truth serum or whatever the hell it is, and he lays out the case for what's going to happen to this Russian guy.
Right. And the look on his face, there's a lot of good looks where, you know, because he's just like, and the cavalry's going to come here, guns a-blazing, and kick you commies back to Russia. And then the horn goes off and the look he gives.
Yeah.
I thought also that the other big exclamation point is Mike confessing that he loves Eleven. You know, that he's like, hey, this is something I've been wondering through all the coverage that we've done in the previous seasons. Like, can Elle, this bleeding out of her nose, that tells me that something's being damaged here.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and impressively she's just like psychically tracking seven different people in the scene, and she's like constantly wiping blood, and you see there's like a mountain of bloody Kleenexes. And Mike's out there thinking, you guys are going to melt her fucking brain, and I don't want that to happen because I love her.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And how they bring up, you know, this is a betrayal to spy on us. Like, as much as it's, you know, me trying to control Elle's powers, it's you trying to use them too, Max. So,
And then she realizes that Billy's setting a trap, or the mind flayer's setting a trap with Billy, But there's another way that she can, you know, rather than physically or metaphysically visit his location, she can do like the tunnel through his memories thing that she did with her real mom last season. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was cool. But and Mike was like, absolutely not. You can't do this. And the whole you got to trust me. And then they kind of both looked at Max. Like, it's funny how like Max and Lucas are kind of like the prize fight judges. Like, you know, is like Mike's always looking to Lucas as like, you know, is this the thing I should do? And Eleven's looking to Max. So she doesn't know what the hell a normal human relationship. And Max kind of like, you know, like you're asking me, like, how the hell does anyone have an opinion about whether your psychic girlfriend can use her nuclear mental warhead powers? I just I fucking love those moments. It's really great.
There's one better moment, though.
Yeah,
there's an even better, maybe the best moment of the entire season so far.
Hit me.
It's when when the Russian scientist is talking. It says, "Oh, how much he loves Hopper's courage."
Yes, yes.
And then he says he's like a fat Rambo.
Yeah, and he goes, "But even thin Rambo couldn't assault this fortress built by the finest Soviet minds or defended by our greatest warriors." Yeah,
that cracked me up.
Fat Rambo, so fucking cool. If I were a David Harbour, I'd pay a tattoo artist to put that on my shoulder, my
bicep, Rainbow.
And get like someone to make like a fat version of Sly Stallone.
Yeah,
pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then they
have a Breakfast Club moment too. Down in the with Steve and Robin.
Yeah. They're tied. They're doing the Indiana Jones 3 tied back to back, trying to hop.
There are so many references in this scene, like. I just kept expecting Steve to say, "Oh, my old man and my scholarship," and like talking to Ali Chidi in the fucking Breakfast Club.
Sure.
Like, we all got it tough, lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. The callbacks, yeah, you're right. And Indiana Jones is in there.
I kind of thought because they went all the way, like, you know, your left. No, your other left. Like, they were going, I thought, it's like, are they going to catch this on fire? Like, how far? Because, you know, you never know because they've got literal, like, you know, poor man's version of the Terminator walking around. Mm-hmm. So like maybe they will commit to this joke or reference equally as well, but they didn't. But I thought, like the whole, you know, Steve DeHare Harrington and how, you know, he was an ass, but she's still, you know, he's still Steve, you know, he's still Steve, and him realizing that popularity is bullshit and that stuff was all good character development. And it seems like you are right that they are, The wheels of destiny are grinding and putting these two in the sorting hat and pairing them off.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
I mean, this is how these things go. I've seen too many of these movies.
The other thing I liked, the emphasis that so we know for sure that this is the Russians copying the Americans because they knew about Hawkins now. Like, now that we've interrogated the Russian guy, that they knew about Hawkins because they knew this place was where the portal had already been previously open and their rift in interdimensional space hadn't healed yet. So they had the right technology, but I don't remember the lore from season one well enough was there something special about Hawkins, like laying on a ley line or something that like,
not
it's
that
uniquely
I remember.
Weak. Cause they didn't mention that. Just mentioned that like it was the dimension had been pierced and it was still healing. So it was weaker.
Yeah. I think hadn't L opened the gateway somehow.
Oh, with her mind powers.
She,
and then
she went into the void. And
then the lab project was trying to like stabilize and widen it so they could use it for other purposes. Okay,
right.
That makes sense. Because I was thinking like maybe the Russians just had a slightly cruder version or their, you know, whatever spying they did didn't have all the details. So like their machine wasn't powerful enough to open up. But you're right, they were missing an 11.
Yeah, and you've seen this in, you know, 15 other things along the way where it's like, oh, well, the fabric of between the dimensions here is weak. And this is the only place it can be pierced by that key. We've seen it.
I did like when they, you know, the they had I forget what they call Smirnoff. He was talking about the fat Rambo and underground fortress and how impossible it is to break in. They smash cut to the Dustin and Erica, you know, breaking into the Green Goo Room, and that's good. That's good. What about Jim Hopper calling the hotline with his antique chariot? Like this is something that they established late last season. Uh-huh. You know, this doctor gave him, "Hey, if you ever need to," and he leaves this message, and then Joyce starts up with her bullshit. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I love the Joyce part of that.
Did you?
Like,
okay.
I like the Hopper part, but I love the Joyce.
Okay, because yeah. I thought that's like...
This is so Joyce.
Yeah, but it's like, it feels like... I'm thinking from the government stooge standpoint, like, you know, he knows what to do with the Hopper. Okay, you got Antique Chariot. Okay, you got this guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to relay the message. You get a call 30 seconds later from his partner, Wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. Now it suddenly feels like you're being punked. Like... I imagine there's a good amount of yeah. urgency when this hotline is called and the right codes are invoked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think there's like, oh, well, I'll get around to it after my pot of coffee, lady. But then it's like, this seems like it injects like, oh, maybe someone's punking him and they need to vet. I feel like that maybe it's going to be an explanation for why the cavalry doesn't come. Because it's
Joyce
going to be
sort of accidentally called him off.
Yeah, because in her, like, yo, you didn't put enough. You know, I gotta put the Joyce touch on. I gotta make sure these guys know there's children involved and all that. That she's actually it's gonna blow up in her face. But I don't know.
I mean, if this, I don't know, public library attendant, as he's masquerading as, it ends up actually delivering the message. There's a good chance we'll see Paul Reiser again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is who he's calling,
yeah.
right? Like,
absolutely.
You remember the end of season two. Like, this is the number that gets him to Paul. Yeah. So
he helped him out with Elle's adoption paperwork and his, mm-hmm. her false identification stuff, and also said, here's all the government involved card if you need it.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see him. And then there's a lot of, you know, Billy stuff, which we kind of talked a little bit about, but you see sort of the childhood trauma. I really thought his mom was going to go in after him when he was surfing with the Riptide. I still don't know that that's not true.
Yeah, I wonder how
they haven't showed the moment.
They broke up. They get divorced, or did she die?
That's my question. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they established that last season, because I'd even forgotten that Max isn't his, you know, isn't his her his full sister.
And how much does, you know, Billy blame himself versus blaming his mother or his yeah. father? Like, I'm curious to see. It was almost like a Kingpin Daredevil season 3 moment where he's kind of going through these these memories, sort of as movies.
Mm-hmm.
Is a cool way to do it.
No, I thought it was great just seeing the layers of trauma that this way he starts off, and his dad just being relentlessly cruel and questioning his manhood, which yeah. has him acting out and just paying that stuff forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he's got kid sister you know, the father's trying to push on him, and it sucks. And then when Elle tries to extract herself and it seems like everyone's gone, you're like, oh my God, what happened? And then it's you find out that the Mind Flayer is trapped. And I thought, like, oh God, she's just going to be stuck here.
Yeah.
She's still powerful enough to extract herself. But, I mean, that vision took place in the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy says, exactly, we see you. This thing's going to this thing's busting out of the steel shed and probably coming right for him.
Yeah.
So
they got to move. Yeah. And do they see them permanently? Like, is this something where he could see through Will?
Oh,
he could see through Billy?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing?
Like, psychic connection's been forged and he can't break it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enough to, I think, know where their physical location is. I don't know how fast, that's the other thing, is I don't know how fast this thing can move.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it can't just, like, open up a tunnel and I guess it can't. Like, it cannot open up portals and move. It can just take advantage of tunnels that are naturally open because of some kind of fuckery.
Yeah, seems like it.
But yeah, if you can manage to close that door and get... How did he... The other big question I have, other than what the hell he's doing with the chemicals, because I still don't have any, you know, like, I don't...
So I think the chemicals are what allows them to become part of him.
Or like, oh, you think that they're actually like drinking corrosive substances, dissolving their insides?
I think so.
Christ, that's gross.
Because they talk about the building, you know, why yeah. would they drink the chemicals? Oh, maybe they're changing, maybe they're building something. And then this episode they talk about, oh,
so
he's been building.
So you think the Mind Flayer's body itself is what they're building?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're building it to defeat L, which is the only thing in this dimension that can keep them at bay.
Maybe they're just drinking all this inert chemicals to cultivate mass.
Yeah.
It's the
gooey mass.
Yeah, it's the Mac solution from All Be mm-hmm. Sunny. What else do
There's
we
another
need?
Almost Always Sunny moment where Dustin screams, "I won't forget you." I thought he was going to scream, "I'll come back for you."
Anything else we need to talk about for this episode?
I don't think so.
All right, that concludes our mini marathon for today. We'll be back tomorrow for the penultimate and finale episode of Stranger Things 3. And we are taking feedback because next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the series as a whole, the season as a whole, how it fits into the series, what we think about, what we're looking forward to in season Stranger Things 4. If you'd like to send in that feedback, it's easy to do, strangerthings@baldmove.com, or there's some forum threads prepared for your feedback and our forums, forums.baldmove.com. Thanks for watching and listening with us, along with us, and we'll be back tomorrow with the final two episodes. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jen.
See ya.